The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Good morning, and John.
Good morning, Otto. Otto has been with us. I was just saying it before we got on the air. Otto has been with us through the entire pandemic, and it's wonderful because he's always there to help Project Independence, and we appreciate everything Otto does. Otto is also going to be very, very involved in today's program because we are so fortunate to have with us today Robert Zimmerman. Robert Zimmerman is the principal and a founder of ZE Creative Communications, which is a public relations firm in Great Neck. And he's also a National Democratic Committeeman. And any question that I ever have in reference to politics, government, what's really going on in the world, you go to Robert for the question because you're going to get an honest answer and a well thought out. I mean, he really is that person that is so involved in the political scene and locally that just having him on this program is an honor to North Hempstead, an honor to Project Independence. Good morning, Robert.
I'm now blushing and getting bright red on Zoom here. It's not just the lighting, but thank you, John. It is first such a privilege for me to be with you and Otto Loos and for the work you're doing, not only with this broadcast, but the work you do for Project Independence. And as someone who started my activism as a member of the Town of North Hempstead Youth Commission, and now that I'm 66, learning about Project Independence, which looks more and more appealing to me, I have to say, to you, Otto Loos, thank you. You have been a leader for Project Independence and really just a great pioneer in that world and a great colleague of John's on those broadcasts. And to Christina and Dan, thank you so much for all you're doing, bringing us all together so we can have these moments and talk about issues. It's really much appreciated.
Before we get into today, you did mention, you know, North Hempstead and you go back years. How did you, I mean, you know, we can talk about the Creative Communication, which is just a wonderful, wonderful firm that I would highly recommend to anybody. But today we want to talk a little bit with an election around the corner. We want to touch a little bit more on how the government works and potential craziness that can be going on here. But you just said you were 66, so I'm not giving your age out. When did you get involved and how did you get involved?
You know, I think the times I grew up in, coming of age in the late 70s and early 80s, was a very empowering time and a time where you felt your voice was heard. You could stand up to protest the Vietnam War and have an impact. You could protest the corruption of the Nixon period during Watergate, stand up for civil rights and the environmental movement was just sort of giving birth at that point, just beginning, it was just in its inception. So it was a very empowering time. And one of my first political activities was serving on the Town of North Hempstead Youth Commission, where voter registration for 18-year-olds, my first vote was at 18, was a very important mission. And environmental awareness in the town was very important. And I'll tell you, John, under our supervisor, Judy Bosworth, those very principles of environmental activism, standing up for social justice and against hate crimes and bigotry for her leadership and Not in Our Town campaign, standing up the way she has for bipartisanship. You know, you hear a lot of people talking about being bipartisan. You hear a lot of people talking about bringing people together. And a lot of it's just rhetoric and press releases because the consultants tell them it works. But in North Hempstead under Judy Bosworth, that's how government works every day. And she proves how important it is. You know, there aren't a lot of victories we see in Washington for sure. But in North Hempstead and local government, that's where we have our victories. And we're seeing that in terms of the type of town we live in, our parks, our environmental safety measures, the principles Judy Bosworth articulates in terms of standing up to unite our town in very divided times. And the leadership certainly she's shown in the pandemic, those are the victories that we can all take pride in being part of under her tenure as supervisor.
I totally agree with you, Robert. And actually, just to throw in a little cute story here, I wasn't involved with the radio when Judy first took office, and Otto interviewed her.
Really?
And my the way I got the story was Otto was a little aggressive. Now she only wants Otto. Now she only wants Otto to interview her.
Well, what happened? What really happened was there was an email sent out about what we should ask Judy. And I had a little bit of a problem with that in the sense that I thought we were just going to have a conversation, and I wasn't really being dictated to as to what I was supposed to say. So I kind of came on with a chip on my shoulder because I thought that I was being told what to say. But it turned out after 1 minute with Judy, that was far from the case. It was a very nice, great, open conversation. And I agree completely with Robert. We are so fortunate to have Judy Bosworth in the town of North Hempstead that people have no idea. If we had more of that on a national level, it'd be a hell of a lot better than we are right now. I can tell you that.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You just gave a little bit of a segue, Otto, because I do want to spend a lot of time on the national. And Otto, you have questions in reference to voting and everything else. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? I'm switching gears. Otto, let's start with your questions in reference to a basic one about the Electoral College.
Well, okay, voting, I mean, clearly voting is like at an all-time high, and everybody is pretty peaked up about who they're for. Either you're for or you're not for, one way or the other. And, you know, everybody should by now know all about early voting and whatnot, which I guess we will touch on. My biggest thing is the Electoral College always seems to be, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, we get down to the Electoral College. And I often think if there's going to be any fraud or any hanky-pank, that's the place where it could be. I was just wondering what your opinion was in that area.
First, let me just say, Otto, in terms of early voting or voting by absentee ballot, for anybody who's watching and listening who's not engaged or informed, please don't hesitate to pick up the phone, call town hall, call your county legislator. We have a board of elections that really does work very hard to be responsive, to be accessible. And so please don't miss your opportunity to count your vote. We all focus on the presidential, but let's remember, you're also voting for Congress, state assembly, state senator, a lot of other offices on the ballot you've got to be mindful of. So I hope that you all, anyone who's listening or watching has any questions, don't hesitate, pick up the phone, call 311 in the town, call your county legislator. It's really easy and accessible, and they're there for you to help. Now, as far as your question out about the Electoral College, you know, people don't realize this, and it's a really important point you're bringing up, because when we vote for president, we're not voting for the individual candidate, of course. We're voting for the electors pledged to that candidate. This was devised, of course, by the founding fathers because it was a compromise between those in the organizing institution in the Continental Congress that wanted to, in fact, give the right to the ruling class, if you will, have people choose, and those who wanted a more popular direct vote. So the compromise was the people would vote for the electors. Now, electors are not automatically required to support the person they're elected to represent. For example, if I go in the voting booth and vote for the electors pledged to Joe Biden. If you look at the ballot, you'll see electors pledged to Joe Biden or electors pledged to Donald Trump. You vote for those electors. In many parts of the country, those electors are not obligated to vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump. So if you vote for Joe Biden's electors and your state votes for Joe Biden, your electors don't have the obligation in many states to vote for Joe Biden. They could vote for someone else. Occasionally there are stray electors. It happens sometimes, not too often. And in some states like Maine and Kansas, the electors vote according to congressional district, not based upon the overall state vote. For example, let's say New York State voted for Joe Biden, but the second congressional district voted for Donald Trump. In two states, Maine and Kansas, that elector from the second CD, which voted for Donald Trump, would vote for Donald Trump and not follow the will of the state, the overall populace of the state. So that's when you have divided electors. In New York State, it is the longstanding practice if you vote for Joe Biden, we vote as a state and all the electors pledge to Joe Biden support that candidate. But the reason I bring it up is the electors are not required to be chosen by the voters. The electors, according to the Constitution, are chosen by the state legislature. State legislators prefer that the people choose the electors when they vote for president. But let's say you have a state that has a voting dispute or the election's so close that the state elector, that you can't determine who the winner is. Or perhaps the state legislature wants to block the winner of the vote being chosen. State legislature can meet, they can determine who the electors are. Let's give an example, Pennsylvania. If it comes out where after the votes are counted and there are court battles disputing the votes, it's determined that the state legislature says, we can't choose who the winner is. They could then choose the electors. This almost happened in 2000 in the Gore versus Bush vote in Florida. In that case, it was a matter of about 500 votes or so, 400 votes separating Bush and Gore. Al Gore was, and his campaign was arguing to have a recount go forward. There were various forms of a recount, but not a ballot by ballot recount. The Republicans said, absolutely not. There'd been enough recounting. They went to the Supreme Court and there was a 5-4 ruling that said, stop the counting of the ballots. And they gave the election to George Bush. The Republicans in the Florida legislature in 2000 were saying, if in fact Democrats persist in demanding a recount, we're just going to say this election's null and void. And the legislators in Florida were going to choose the electors to vote for George Bush. So it almost, your point about electoral mischief, if you will, or electoral corruption, to more to the point, almost happened in 2000 when Florida's legislature almost decided to just ignore the vote and choose their own electors. But it raises a bigger point about the efforts to undermine our voting process and the urgency to protect it.
What's going to happen today on this show, and I'm not putting this burden on Robert, but as opposed to a back and forth, which we normally do, this is going to be really a lot more educational because the wealth of knowledge that Robert has and is willing to share with us, because what you just said now, I didn't even realize that in the 2000 situation in Florida.
I was there during the recount. I was in Nashville with the Gore. I was the New York State chair for Al Gore, and I was down in Nashville during that whole process.
Wow. You know, and it's amazing that, you know, the people sitting at home watching TV don't even realize what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak.
I one correct. It's Nebraska that has divided electoral votes in Maine. I mentioned Kansas. I misspoke on that.
Okay, that's fine. But no, it's a very significant thing what's going on. And right now, even, which I do want to go into, is some of the stuff that's going on in Washington with this current election. But actually, that's going to go into another major segue. So I think it makes more sense at this point in time to take our first break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Robert Zimmerman.